Okay, we're holding on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. So the last thing that we figured out was how it is that the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael ends up with 18 treifas, despite the fact that they're way, way over. If we include Bhaskar and Shev Shmeitzer, we ought to have an additional 11. And what we end up doing, instead of our first gradual attempt to whittle down the treifas that they might disagree with, so we had taken out originally the Beis of Bhaskar, and we had taken out the Gimel of Bhaskar, which was the cutting of the legs above the Arkuva, the Galuda, which was the removal of the skin. In the end, we realized what we need to do is we need to categorize the 18, so that if we take all 8, actually 9 if we include one, the Revaviras of the Tchol, the spleen that has a hole in it, all 9 of the Nekuvas, we make them one, we can put back, we take the 2 Psukas, which would be the spinal cord and the trachea, and what we could do is we could end up having all of the original Bhaskars together with Shev Shmeitzer. And there would be no problem. We'd still come out with 18 because we ended up with 18 categories. It's not specific traits. Okay, so we're up now to the last word on the top line. Omar Ula. Says, Ula Shmona Mine Trefis Demra Lola Moshe B'Sinai. There is a total of 8 types of trefis that were set to Moshe. What the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, when they said 18, they weren't referring only to types. And we'll see that these types expand into many, many, many dozens of treifas, as we'll see throughout the parak. And these include Nekuva, Psuka, Netula, Asura, Karua, Grusa, Nefula, and Shura. Afuke Lakusa. Not to include Lakusa. Now, to go through these, what we have, we won't go through the numbers, because we'll be discussing that later on. We know that we have quite a few. Truth is, if we look at details, we have 10 Nekuvas, as we'll see later. Psukas, we've had quite a few Psukas. The ones we discussed particularly was the spinal cord and the Gargaras. We've had, in the case of Netula, where the Kaved was missing entirely. We've had the case of Chasura as well, which was the Gluda, is a Chasura, it's missing its skin. Or the case of the Beis of Bhaskar, where you have the Raglei HaShenechtechu, the Malam and Arkuva, that's all Chasura. So that would be included under Chasura. We've got, did I say Netula, or did I skip Netula?
No, you said
Netula. I said Netula, okay, fine. Yeah. With the Kaved, with the liver. We have the case of the first the Shav Shmeitz, the Bukad Atman, the Shav Ridu, where you had the removal of the ball from its socket. That would also be called a Netula. And even though nothing is missing, it's taken out from its right place. So those all would be included in Netula. We had cases of Chasura, and we said that the lung that could be missing something. So the truth is that there are many, many cases of Chasura that appear under other guises, as we'll see later on. We have, for instance, the lobes of the lungs that are reversed.
Are these cases where something is missing from before, or something happened then?
Either way, it doesn't matter whether it's congenital or not. And so a lot of cases that we haven't even met yet are really going to be included in cases of Chasura or Netula from its place. And then we also have cases where we have Karua, such as the case of the Bosra of Sarov HaKeres, that was Nikra Beruva, was torn. So that's a case of Karua, tearing. We have the case of Drusa, where it was attacked by an animal, and over there, that comes even without there being any obvious injury. We have the case of Nefula, when an animal falls, also without any case of obvious injury. We have the case of Shibura, where we had the skull that was crushed, even though there was no immediate injury that we could see to the underlying cranial membrane. And we also And we also... Well, it's okay. Richie got 1/9 of the information, so that's good. La Fuque Lacusa. So that we're missing the case of Lacusa, which was Rochi Bar Popa's case, which was the kidney that was Loku. Remember? And that's not to be confused. Rashi goes out of his way to clarify this for us. It's not to be confused with all of the cases that we have. We'll see later on that various disease symptoms or diseased tissue in the lung, for instance, is not called Lacusa. Even though it's clearly diseased, you can have different colors of the lung, each which are known today. You have hepatization of the lung where it looks like a liver and things like that. Now those things are not called Lacusas. They are actually called, since they're ultimately going to have, they're going to cause either a chisorin in the inside of the lung, or they'll cause an actual hole, they're included under Nekuva or under Hasura. So even though there's a lot of them, they don't represent different categories of trephers, they don't represent a Lacusa category, diseased category. But to make absolutely clear that you don't get confused about Rochish's case of a kidney that is Lacusa, the case of the kidney wouldn't help to make it a Nekuva. So let's say you say, okay, the kidney is diseased, and therefore ultimately it's going to get a hole in it. Even if it ultimately gets a hole in it, nobody holds that a hole in a kidney is a trefer. So Rochish wasn't saying that this is a simon of something that's ultimately going to cause another trefer. He was claiming that there was a particular trephus that was a type of nephritis, and that itself is a trefer. So that if the damage is reached to it, but we'll see there's a cavity in the kidney that reaches all the way down to that renal cavity. So then in Hachinami, it would be a trefer. If you don't know the Lacusa, there's no category called Lacusa. There's only the 8 categories that we mentioned above. And Rochish Bar Papa's case would not be a trefer. Might be a sick animal, but it's not a trefer.
What about bilateral?
It's talking about bilateral.
It's talking about bilateral.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, the amazing thing is that even though a missing liver is considered to be a trefa, missing kidneys are not considered to be a trefa.
Both missing?
Even bilateral missing kidneys. Yeah. And in an amazing experiment that was done... What's an amazing experiment done in the Netherlands is absolutely astonishing. He brings it here. Is they performed, actually, bilateral removal of kidneys in ruminants. And they did perfectly well. What was found is absolutely astonishing. They looked like nothing had happened to them.
both kidneys. What was fluid?
Nothing. It wasn't fluids. What was? They stopped urinating. Obviously. What happened was that they discovered that the rumen itself, and this only works in ruminants, but at least it makes the Mishnah work sense. This only works in ruminants. That the rumen itself, because of the vast exchange area, ends up acting as a kidney. And so with all of the slush and water that goes out through the rumen, it ends up being able to purify its blood and to survive without kidneys. Absolutely wild. It's like momish wild. All right, but in any event, so this would be excluding Lacusa. Not that would prove anything Lagabi Lacusa, because we already saw, for instance, by the spleen, that if you have a hole in the spleen, it's a trefa, but if you remove a spleen, it's not a trefa. So, I mean, it's not, you know, Lacusa could be even worse. Actually, you can find 8 different Nekuvas, if you think about it. Now, that's a little bit misleading, because we already know of 10 Nekuvas that we've already talked about, because if you put them all together, you have the veshet, you have the cranial membrane, you have the heart, you have the lungs that we spoke about, then you have the stomach, Then you have the intestines. Those are all called mikubas, right? You've got the keres, the keres apnimi. You have the hemsets. You have the beta kosot, and you have the mora. That's 10. If, however, we, as we said before, the hemsets and beta kosot are viewed as one because they basically pour from one into the other, we did that in order to make life easier when we were dealing with the Shev Shmeitz, even though it's not necessary any longer because we already figured out to take all the mikubas and put them into one. But still, there ought to be 9 if you include the Mara, and this is the Gemara's current problem. Hitomar Tesha. If you're going to say, what about a hole in the gallbladder that we said was a problem? Mara Rebiyeda Katanima. Actually, that's not a problem because we know that the gallbladder hole was only a little bit of Rebiyeda, and that's a Das Yochid, so he didn't want to include it over here in the list of Chiyar Bar Rava. The Tanya Nikva Hakeva Nikva Hadakin Trefa. So if there's a hole in the stomach or a hole in the intestines, it's a trefa. Yes, we don't know. Af nikva hamara. That this would be true as well if there was a hole in the gallbladder. I love the way people cavalierly come late, missing literally dozens and dozens of pieces of absolutely essential information, and then assume it's sort of like a. Sort of like a primitive, it finds a little printed circuit, you know, looks at this printed circuit and it says, I guess I can bite off a little piece of the edge and spit it out, it should still work fine, right? You know, and there go like 500,000 transistors, and you know. But it's okay, it's okay. It should have sent. What's that? It's not cavalier.
It's more like kidneys out of a boat.
But I must say you weren't the only individual I was referring to about being cavalier. I won't mention other names. The question is, did you ever smoke cavalier? Remember that brand? So, all of these things, it would be true, but only a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda would we have 9. As I pointed out, it's actually 10, because we have to include the Hamsas and Vesakosas. Om Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yossi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, the Halach is like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So for all intents and purposes, we have 10 Nekuvas that we've already listed. Om Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yossi, Om Rabbi Yochanan. My Hadra like Chavrus of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what was the objection that the Chavrim of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who said that a hole in the gallbladder is considered to be a trefa, what did they respond to him? They told him, what about the Pesach in Iyov? The Pesach said, Yishkof la'aretz mararati, that God has spilled my gallbladder out on the earth. Made life really miserable. Now, Iyov seems to have survived that pretty well. I mean, a dying Iyov Kayama. So apparently, you know, a gallbladder spilled out on the earth doesn't seem to be fatal. Omalem imas krimas enisim. Don't mention Iyov. I mean, that whole situation, as the Gemara pointed out in Baba Basra, life was harder for the Sultan than it was for Iyov, if you recall. He started up, the God says, okay, take him apart, just make sure he survives. You know, so okay, I mean, obviously this wasn't an easy issue. Below Temach, it says, Yiflach til yotai v'lo yachmol. It says, cuts my kidneys into two. And has no mercy on me, Kochai. Would he survive that?
Right?
No. Interesting. Vashi says this would be Lakusa. So according to Rokish Bar Pop, it's worse than losing your kidneys. Tosfos says that doesn't make any sense because how do we know this is Lakusa? We see later on that Lakusa is very defined. I mean, it's got to be a particular Lakusa. I didn't know you flow through your side. So Tosfos learns the problem of your flow through your side is through the fact that later on we see that if somebody. He really doesn't have. He doesn't have much to say. Yeah, it's also a problem. Okay, but I mean, we figure that the Torah wouldn't use symbolism. It didn't have a realistic. I'm going to say, he cut off my head. Elanisa Shiny. Techiv Raket Nafsho Shemar. Watch his neshama. That was keep him alive. Okay, I'm Elanisa Shiny. So it said it could be true about his gallbladder. This is irrelevant. Now, we have a little bit of a problem in that the Mishnah over here says that if the liver was removed and absolutely nothing is left, so that says, if understeirim in a klum, it's trefa, mashpach, there was an understeirim in a something, that it would be kosher even if it wasn't a kezayis, whereas in the end of the Mishnah it says, el kasherot, which we haven't gotten to yet, nidlak aved v'shtera menu kezayis. Seems to be a contradiction. Well, Mad Yomer says that it has to be a kezayis. We'll see later on. So here, Rabbi Yisburg Yosef is paskin, name of Rabbi Yochanan, that indeed the halacha is kezayit, and if it isn't a kezayit, then the liver will not regenerate. Now this is the way to find out what a kezayit is, finally, once and for all. Me, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Now, wait a second. Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have said that, would he? I mean, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, halacha kestam mishnah, and the mishnah over here says stam. It's not nitla kaved v'lo nishtayra min klum. Mashma, that if something was nishtayra, it would be kosher. Hafagav v'lo havi kezayit. Again, on the surface, this looks like a reasonable question, but if you realize that we have over here two stam mishnahs, I mean, we have the Evu Kesherot over there, it does say kezayit. So, I mean, it's not that he's contradicting anything. Rashi says if you would have traced down to Kashra Adadi, that Rabbi Yochanan would not have paskin, unless there's a reason to claim that one stam was more reliable than the other, and whether there's svara, we wouldn't have said it. So over here, if there was a svara, so then we would have said what the svara is. We're not saying that there's a svara, which is the Nafkamina is, that Rabbi Yochanan would not have paskin like one over the other. Here he's paskening dafka that it has to be like the kezayit. So Enochinam is the Gemara Amoroyim, you know, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. There are some Amoroyim who hold that Rabbi Yochanan did not say a klal, that he always will not pasken in cases of contradictions of astonishment. So, okay, that's a question. Do some of the Talmidim remember it this way, some of the other ones? The Omer, I should say over here, because this Dalit doesn't mean anything here. The Omer of Yitzchak or Yosef Omer of Yochanan. Mora Shenikva. If you have a hole in the Mora, now that we've passed that a hole in the Mora is a Treifa, we have to be a little bit more specific, because in the place where the gallbladder is up against the liver, if there's a hole in the gallbladder, it doesn't matter, because it's sealed by the liver and its fats, and therefore it won't cause any damage. So if the Kaved is Sotmatat, Ksher. Furthermore, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, Nikev hakurkevan v'kishalokayam. Now we've moved on to birds, and we're only doing this because of the other issues. Otherwise, we would wait till the Mishnah talks about birds. But if the kurkevan of a bird, the bird eats in a very different way than we do. It doesn't have any teeth, obviously. So the question is, how does it digest materials that have a hard shell on it? So it actually has a grinding device, which is part of its digestive system, which is called the kurkovan. The kurkovan, you've all seen the kurkovan. That gizzard, pupik. That thick kurkovan is very strong muscle that actually grinds at seeds that the bird has eaten and breaks them up the way teeth would in your mouth. It's not exactly a stomach because it doesn't have a lining that exudes gastric juices. However, before it gets into the kurkovan, when it's ever taken apart a chicken, you'll notice that there's a broadening of the veshet between the zephic, between the crop, see if you can find it, between the crop and the kurkovan. The crop is a place where it just stores food. And then it's called the zephic. When you see that, like right when I can see it when the bird eats, basically. It's not at the end, it's in the middle of the esophagus. And then the esophagus goes on. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, page 78. So here you see the three issues. Do you have yours? Yes, hold it up. The zephek, which is the crop, that's this big holding sac over here. And it goes on from there, that's from the mouth into the zephek, out of the zephek, into this swollen area over here, which is a proventriculus, it's called, which is the area where it actually has acids. Stomach acid is injected into it. But it doesn't digest there. It moves on from there into the kurkovan, into the gizzard, where it's actually ground at the same time that it's being exposed to acid. So, but it's not, the acid isn't exuded from the lining over here. So, and you'll remember that this very thick lining, right, So they get the inside is like white, very, very thick membrane that lines that muscle where the fruit sits inside. I never examined the dinosaur. I'm sure in Australia you found a lot of that kind. I know that you're on your way to Australia. There are still creatures that do that. There are living creatures that use stones for digestion. There's lizards that have that have to eat stones. Yeah, ostriches also do. That's right. Ostriches eat sharp things in order to help them. So they need to adjust at one point in their life. Sharp material, it just stays there. And that's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable system. And whoever thought this up? Incredible. All right. So we have the case over here of the Kurkavan, and the question over here which can come up. We spoke about a partial hole when we talk about the heart, in which something penetrates the heart muscle but doesn't reach the chamber. And here we have an interesting thing, whereas we can have the Kurkavan itself can have a hole going through it, but it's thick. And if the kis remains whole, which is the lining, if the kis remains whole, it's still kosher. So it's not like the other. I mean, in the nekuvas, usually, as Tosis pointed out earlier, we don't bother mentioning halfway nekuvas. But over here, we've got a real thick area that we've got to look into. Iboilu. Now, what about the other direction? How about if the hole goes through the kis, which is much thicker? Not thicker. I don't mean it's thicker in terms of distance, but it's much tougher. Is what I'm sorry. Tougher. The other part is muscle. I mean, that you can, if you eat a kurkavan, you have a problem with the kis. You don't have a problem with the muscle. The kis is that white piece inside. I don't know if they show it. There must be a place where they show the actual kurkavan. Where's the picture? Where's a picture of an actual kurkavan as opposed to this thing, which is the whole? Can we get a picture of a kurkavan somewhere, please?
At Empire, when you sell it, they sell it without the special machine.
I don't know. It drives me crazy. I can't figure out how this thing is organized. It's got to have a picture of a kurkavan. I mean, come on. What page?
Page 42.
Oh, here we go. Oh, here's a nice 43. A nice kurkavan. The white there inside is the kis. The white here, that's the kis. I mean, it's been opened here, obviously. That's the kis. And the red is the muscle. Yeah. That's what grinds. But you see that. I mean, you've seen this. They never used to sell birds without them. Now I think they stopped. But, they stopped selling
you buy them separately. My wife will boil them first, soften them up.
Okay. So you're very familiar with that structure. Okay. Now, so what about if it goes through the really heavy-duty kis? But the kurkavan itself, the muscle, is still kaya mai. Tashma will bring a raya the amr of Nachman, nikev ze below ze. Actually, either one, either the kis or the muscle that was had a nekev through it, where it's shalokedeged ze, and you don't have a hole, or a hole that's not in the same area. There's a hole through one, hole through the other, but not going through straight. It would be kosher. Omar Rava Shnei Orot Yesh Laveshet. We have a similar situation in which there are also two different things you've got to take into consideration, and that's the esophagus. The esophagus has two layers, one of which actually is a muscle, which is very, very thin. It doesn't look like muscle. It looks like membrane, but it actually is what moves the food through the esophagus. The chitzon is adon, which is muscular. And the panimi is lavan. The inside is, in fact, a krum. It's a membrane. And it's white. Nikev zebelo ze kasher. If you have a hole through one and not through the other, it's kasher. Why did you mention, by the way, that the chitzon is adom and the panimi is lavan? Lamele lameima chitzon adom panimi lavan. To tell you, de'ichol if treifa. If it switches position, indeed, it's treifa. Now, why isn't that another set of treifas called chalufa? So as Rashi points out, because that is a nekuva. In other words, if it's netulah, it's not in its right place, then this is the biggest nekuva you could possibly have. It doesn't have any membrane at all, basically. So it's in the wrong place. This is not what's supposed to be there. So this is included in nekuva saveshet, of course. What would be the din if there is a nekev in both and it's not one keneged the other? Now this is a question on both of the above issues. In other words, we have two things here: kurkavan that has an inner and outer layer, and veshet that has an inner and outer layer, and they're similar. The kurkavan and the veshet both have a muscular outer layer, which is red, and a white inner layer, which is membranous. What's the din in both of these things? If both parts have a nekev, it's just that the nekev isn't lined up. You have one that's above and one that's below, for instance, which is the case that Rashi brings, which many learn is the davka, above and below, as opposed to if they're on different sides. In other words, a circumlateral, as opposed to being simply on the same, along the same. We'll see in a moment that it makes an afkamina in the girsa over here too. So the question is asked then: what's the din of his nikvishneim zeshalokinegetze? Omer ma'azur trumish meiner of papa beveshet kasher bekurkavan pasul. In the veshet it's kasher. In the kurkavan it's treifa, which doesn't really make sense because the kurkavan, as anybody who's looked can see, is firmly attached. Now, there's no way to move the kis without moving the muscle. On the other hand, the veshet slides, slips and slides. And there is a way to move one without the other. And therefore, basketball, Ravashi, yes, Adarab. I mean, if anything, the opposite should be true. The veshet, the achla beilot, the veshet is moving all the time because the animal eats, and so the muscle moves. Upoibe, and it also makes those horrible noises, which of course doesn't make the noises, Rashi, with the esophagus, but where it stretches its neck to make the noise. Oh, you know, you saw a cow where it's really moving. It's pulling its neck all the way up, dragging the veshet along with the kona when it makes those sounds. And therefore, all kinds of crazy things go on. Now, the question is whether ravach belongs here or not. It doesn't seem to belong. The aruch doesn't have it. Some take it out. And therefore, what we're left with is gomdale upashtale. Gomdale means a dwarf, so to speak. In other words, it contracts, pulling its neck in. So it pushes the two linings, the two skins in one position, and then partially it stretches it, and they pull out to other positions. But you'll notice that there's no discussion of twisting. And that's what Rashi says, one above and one below, but if it was twisted on an opposite, if it was on other sides, it wouldn't be a chashash, you could ever get one connected the other. Whereas if you say ravach, then it could be referring to it's elastic enough when it twists its head. It might actually cause a torsion in it. And that's and we do paskin, and it doesn't have to be, in order to be possible, it does not have to be aligned necessarily in the same area, just one above and one below. So zimnin de mihandzin bahadi adadi, it may end up that one hole is connected to the other hole, and therefore it's a trefa. Whereas a kurkavan, which is permanently attached, and it's menach nayach, kirikoi koi, it's always going to stay in the same area. And if you have a hole in one place going through the muscle, and in another place going through the membrane, why would they ever line up? Then you said the opposite. Amli Ravacha Breder of Yezer Ravashi, you know what? Indeed, I want you to know that's the way we learned it. That Marzutra quoted Rav Papa saying exactly what you just said. That in the Veshet it's possible, and in the Kurkavan it's kosher. And that does indeed seems more reasonable. V'yomar Rabba, krum sha'ala machmat makab, Veshet eno krum. If you have a membrane that grows up around the place where there was a hole, and now it seals the hole. That is not considered to be a krum. Now, this has led to some of the most horrific shilas, the most recent of which was the hormone injection shila, which caused people to actually stop buying milk for about a week in the States. And when they found out that a lot of the injections are given through the neck and that they often puncture the vessel. So the question is, and the question also arises all the time where it often happens the cow gets bloated, and what they do is they simply puncture the rumen. You know, take a little tube, knock it in through the animal's side, puncture the rumen, the gas goes out, right? You know, you can light it if you want, but then terrible things have been known to happen with that. But Harriet's got a story of a friend of his that did that. The entire barn burnt down. So the last I heard, he was looking for some kind of job off in the West Indies somewhere. But anyway, and that is a hole. Again, that is a hole for the carrots. And it's like standard procedure. It's like done all the time. You know, these things start to come to light. And the question is, I mean, how you're drinking milk from cows that are being treated in this fashion, where it's common, therefore, to have trephus, and then milk from a trephus, well, they're not meat cows, but they're...
Millions of
cheese. That had already been made. Uh-huh. Because it's called kavua. It's called kavua kamechtalmechtal. Okay, whatever. I don't think it was more common, but it was more of a shame. So here, that's why I'm bringing it up. The issue over here is like this. When Rashi says something that's very, very unclear. Why is a krum sha'olah machnas a maka considered to be not a problem? Or considered to be not a krum, ain't no krum. So many see a stira in Rashi. Let's read the Rashi together because it's so central. Ain't no krum, v'im nike v'nistam. So if there was a nekev and it became satum, then afilo altabo stima ava, even if you have this thick stima over it, well, scab, scar, whatever, enam mitkayemet, it doesn't hold. Kiriyamina b'yavamos, and we have actually a reference, this is in Yavamos, we have the case of a krushavcha, where over there, nikev posel, nistam kosher, the lashon of the sugya over there is to say like this, someone has a hole through his penis, which makes now him posel to marry. If it's nistam, it's kasher. V'zeh psul shechozer lehechshiro. This is called a psul that can then become kosher because it can be sealed. And the Gemara says zeh. When you say this is such a psul, what does that mean? This as opposed to what? Zeh lema'ute krum shalom akmas makah bereya she'eno krum, which of course is the source of all the problems of the treifas that we have today, where you have a sircha that's all a makmas makah in the lung. So it closes, all of those sirchas seal the lung. You have to pull them off in order to check the lung. Right? So those are adhesions. But in general, here it's saying that if you would have a krum, shalom achmas maka bereya, she'eno krum, and now Rashi goes on to say, to kol nekuve de trefus lo ma'anyala stima. Any nekev and trefus stima doesn't help. That if that stima was put on afterwards, the salka baliakrisma that comes afterwards. The lo domi lareya, which seems to not be the same as what he said before, where over there he says enemis kayemes, here he seems to be saying it doesn't help to change the din of trefas, because it's lo domi lareya shenikva vedofen sotmata, or stimata kaved bimara. Later on we'll see that if you have a hole in the reya in a place where it's up against the fat of the edge of the animal, that that's not considered to be a problem. So, or the case we just had with the gallbladder that's sealed by the liver. We said that that's not considered to be a problem. So why does that work and this doesn't work? Daistima mi'ikaraya. That is a stima up front. Now, many people take this to mean, including the Shacharitas, take this to mean a very, very big chumrah. Namely, this is the biggest issue. Can a trefa become kosher? And they think of what Rashi is saying is that any time that you start off as a trefa, you can't change its status afterwards by now making it kosher again. And the only reason that we said that the things that were kosher like the kaved or the reya in the case where it's up against the side, is because that's the way it was initially, so it never became a trefa. Now, if that's the case, then how did they learn the first part of the Rashi, where all the Rashi seems to be saying over there is that it's logistically, it doesn't work in practical terms. It doesn't hold. They do an unbelievable thing in order to answer what they perceive to be as an impossible stira. And they say that the word eina mitkayemet means the animal will not live. Which is so difficult because the contrast of the case of the krushavcha, zehu psula chozer, right? As opposed to this, it's clearly the idea of, it's on the surface of animus kayemis. No, it means zehu psula halacha. A krushavcha is not a state in the sense of having defined something once. It's not a person is a krushavcha. It's if he's a krushavcha, he can't get married. If he isn't, then he isn't. What's the problem? But a trefa is a definition. An animal is a trefa. How can an animal as a trefa become kosher? That's how they're reading Rashi. Okay. Now, there's a tremendous machlokas about it. I mean, the Prisha disagrees with this whole pshat. Takes Rashi kapshuto, as we just said it, that it's not going to hold. Enam is kayemes. That's not a seal that holds. Whereas the seal in a penis will hold. And the question over here is whether the shiloh that he's talking about over here, that it wasn't their mi'kara, is a definition of practicality. That's all. In a realistic sense, if there's something that's supporting it, and Rashi says this later again by the idea of sirchas in certain places where a sircha doesn't pull apart, that then it's strengthened to end up sealing the lung shut. We'll see that when we get to the sugya of sirchas. That all Rashi is saying is that if you have something that's supporting the closure initially, then it's not a problem because then it does stay shut. But if you're trying to seal something which is always under pressure to be open, it's not going to stay shut. That's all that Rashi is saying. It's talking about a practical problem. In which case, where you know for a fact that you have the type of what they will do over there, they'll put on a stitch. There's a hole in the rumen. Fine, so who's to say if there's a stitch, there's a problem? Maybe if there's a stitch, it's the same thing as being up against the carpet or up against the dolphin. The stitch holds it together until it heals or something, you know, this type of thing. Or if, in fact, you see that a particular type of thing that is done in a way that assures a refuah, so that it's bedavka, something that is sterilized, small, is meant to be injected in that fashion. If that works, an animal survive it. So why say that that is something that it's a? There's no innate problem of saying that something can't be cured if it's a trefa, according to the Prisha. It's just the question is that we know that something that comes up naturally in this fashion isn't considered to be a cure. But if you know that it's done the chatchila in a way that is meant to hold a cure. So that you get cured. So what's the problem? Anyway, that's one of the many, many issues that were brought about. And the question is, can a trefa be chozer le kashruta? This, of course, deals also with the question of the spleen that somebody raised the other day. How about if the spleen has a hole? Now you take the spleen out. So if you take the spleen out, it no longer has a nekuv in the spleen. You're telling me once it's a trefa, can it ever become untrefa again? We'll see later on. We'll be seeing this all through the sugya, these questions. So, here's the first place that it comes out. So I wanted to point it out at some length.
This book goes through that.
This book is a wonderful book. Wonderful book. Imam is amazing. I mean, he has really put in an immense amount of work. Incredible. Incredible. I'm not surprised. I mean, I see the things that he brings up there. Just to look at the list. It's amazing. My things I mean, that have been hanging, you know, that people have... There's been a whole swarm about a lot of these issues. Literally, I mean, there's a whole book about medicine in German, about medicine in the Talmud, that raises all of these questions and leaves so many issues hanging. I see him talking about all of these with the latest research. I mean, it's mom's fantastic. Oh, that medicine book? In any event, yeah, that business that I told you before, I got it from him, the thing about the Netherlands.
Oh, really?
Were you here? Yeah, that he brings. I would have saw that. That's a spoil. It's unbelievable. And it's also one of those things that was hanging for years. I mean, everybody told me, "What's going on in the place?" All right. The Omar Rabba. Now, Rabba further said that the Veshet Eino Vadikami Bachutz Ela Mibifni. You can't check. We saw this earlier by the case of the bird that gave it the bloody neck, remember? And he wanted his kid to tell him how to be able to do the Vadikami. So, you can't do the Vadikami Bachutz. You can only do it Mibifnim Lamai Nafkamina. Who cares? Well, case of a Sophic Drusa would care if you're not sure whether. Because remember, what we have by Druze is a strange situation. It's not the actual maka. It's not the physical gross damage that's done by the claws of the wolf that causes damage, right? But rather, it's some type of it's a type of cat fever, you know, which it's not trauma. It's something probably bacterial or viral. That sits there, and that when it gets into the body, yeah, but dafka from the gandafka certain animals. I mean, cats are famous for this, you know, the cat fever problem, where they scratch at you, and it immediately causes the most awful problems because they have little bits of junk when they retract the claws. Doesn't help very much for a zev because the zev doesn't retract his claws, but they retract the claws when they scratch. And then whatever was under the claws comes out with the claw. So it's just like it's injecting like basically a bacterial culture directly into the body. That's something else. That's pieces that go in. Yeah. That was it. We had earlier, but by lion, yeah, by cats. But that's feline. But what about the zev? Doesn't all right. But whatever. I mean, again, this is one of those. One of those things. It says on the back of the book that he talks about. I haven't had a chance to. It's right there on the back. Why does a... You notice this? Why does a wolf... See that? It's there on the back. He doesn't explain it. He just says these are the types of questions that it talks about.
How now, was that poison of wolf and chicks?
Yeah, what poison does a wolf inject? Alright, so... I mean, I'm sure it's all in here. I didn't realize it was such a nice book until tonight when I saw that on the back cover. I said, that's interesting. I finally looked at it. I said, wow, this is really terrific. Okay, so now what happened was there was a Suffolk. Oh, I'm sorry. So I got sidetracked. So the Drusa, it's possible to check to see whether that happened. Words, let's see that an animal claws. At this cow, and you want to know whether did anything happen. So what you can see if there's any reddening of the esophagus or whatever organ, kinega, the place where it was clawed, then you've got a problem with the drusa. So there was a Suffolk drusa that came to Rabba, and Rabba starts checking the veshet on the outside of the veshet, which is on the red lining, the red skin of the veshet. And Abaya said to him, what? But, Rebbe, I thought that you were the one who said, you can only check it for the white part inside that. So then Rabba indeed twisted it and turned it around. Ubatke, checked the white part. He found indeed two marks of blood, vitarfa, and he made a trach. And obviously, he had only done this just to see whether Abaye was going to catch him. So Rabba Nami left do the Abhayavada. But he wanted to see if Abhaya was going to catch that what he was doing didn't make any sense. Omar Ula, Yashatlo Kots Baveshet in Choshishib Shema Hibri. If you find, after Shvita, a thorn sticking into the inside of the esophagus, you don't have to be choshish that the thorn penetrated all the way through the outside, which would have made a trafe, and now you say, well, how come I don't see a hole? Well, it healed, but that won't matter because a hole that heals in the esophagus doesn't help. No, you don't have to worry about that. Really? Ula Maishram is suffering drusa. Why is this different than a case, we have a case later on when a lion goes in and invades a whole thing of animals and they're screaming and things like that. You know, let's see what exactly because this is for Sofer Drusa. Why are we chayish for Sofer Drusa and not chayish for this? I mean, in both cases, you don't know what happened. You can't discover what happened over here because you don't know whether you're looking at a krum shalamaka samaka. You see that a coat's got in, which is the same as a lion getting into a herd. So why are we chayish for the lion and not chayish for this? Ula holds a question with Sofer Drusa, that's why. He holds you don't have to be chayish for Sofer Drusa either. Well,
what about, you know, they inject hormones and things in turkey?
No, I know, that's what we're talking about here. That's so one of the big problems that I mentioned earlier. Umay shno mishtecha tichot achat shel chela ve'achat shel shuma. Why is this different where you have to bring a carbon Hashem Talui, where you ate something that might have been Shemen, might have been Chelev. What do you mean, what's the difference? Obviously, what the difference is, it means Chazik Yitzurah, Chelev is Chazik Yitzurah. What comparison? Over there, you know, you had something Treif, you had Chelev. Now, the question is, did you eat that, or did you eat the other one? Over here, you don't know you have anything Treif. All you know is you shafted an animal, we said before, until you could show me something's wrong, I have a right to swim its kosher. So what's the problem? Well, what about from the case where you used the sakin and then you found the sakin was paguma? How come over there were choshesh that it was pagum before? Because hosavisyada they raised up the sakin, darling. I mean, if the sakin's got a problem, then obviously the shchita's got a problem. I mean, we're talking about having established there was a shchita. Now you can't go wrong and pass or something. Well, what's the difference between this case and sapik tumer brishus hayochid? Sapik tumer brishus hayochid is always spekotome. Oh, that's a great question. I mean, why don't we invert it and say, what's the difference between this case and Sofer Tumer Brishus HaRabim, which is always tar? So the time is the Daniel of Sofer Tumer Brishus HaRabim, if that's what you want to do, might as well ask it the other way, huh? Sveko Torah, obviously you know perfectly well that also the Ilchus HaGemir Lami Saita. Over there, it's a local of Ashmisiana. What's that whole difference between bringing in Sofer Tumer Brishus HaRabim? Please. Anyway, there was one of the Rabbanim, the Yeshiva, was sitting in front of Rav Kahana, and he was saying over the sugya, and he was claiming, by the way, certainly it's not talking about where the thorn was actually stuck into the veshet. Over there, you would have to be chayish. What we're talking about over here is you found a thorn in the veshet. Nimtzeit itmar. Abo yashav, if it's sticking in, then Chayshinon, you have to be afraid it went all the way through. Rav Kahana overheard this and said, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Lotatzitulei. It specifically said, Yashav Itmar. Ula's whole case was that it was sticking into the esophagus from the inside. Nimtzeit? Well, you think Ula has to tell you what the din is of Nimtzeit? Did you ever see an animal eating that doesn't eat thorns if it's left out to eat? It always ingests thorns. I get to tell, oh, you found the animal ingested thorns. You have to be chayish. I need Ula to tell me. No, don't be chayish. It went through the esophagus. Why would I think so? That's part of the normal eating. Lo itzich leilu Ula. I don't need Ula to tell me that. Kulu chive briyata kotzi achlan. All animals that live outdoors, are allowed to walk around outdoors, they all eat kotzi. So, what kind of finish is that? Yeah, well, if they eat it, you're going to find it in the veshet. So, well, therefore, it says finding in the veshet. It's got to mean sticking into the veshet. That's where Ula's got to finish. It got stuck into the veshet.
So it has to go all the way through?
And it has to go all the way through. And that's what Ula's saying. You don't have to be tired. It should have went all the way through. Now, the question is that the veshet, of course, has got to be joined up to the jaw somewhere. And it is in the pharynx. Now the shaila is, at that point, is the veshet still a veshet, or is it considered to be now similar to the kana? Because I remember the point over here, the veshet is very delicate. It's basically like a limp balloon. It doesn't remain open unless there's food going through it, and then the muscles force the food down. We know that the shear was, but with the kana, which is held open by these dryer vent rings. So over there, it's held open, and indeed, when it's held open, the shear is rote, not a mashu. So it's possible that I would look at the pharynx as the equivalent of the kana in the veshet, because the pharynx is held open. It's wide, widens to attach to the bottom of the jaw. It doesn't, if you'll leave it alone, it obviously doesn't go back and fold upon itself. It's held open by muscles. So what's the din of that area which is called the Turbat HaVeshet? Where is it? Page 44, coming up. Okay, I mean, it's showing it from the outside, so, but here you see the end of the jaw, right here, is the end of the jaw, and then you have this large piece that becomes the veshet at the bottom.
That big thing
is the pharynx, yeah.
You get that on that.
Yeah, you do get that.
No, I mean,
yeah. Okay. This piece here, the question... What? This on the bottom is that's the kana. No, it's right here. See how the veshet widened? Look here, follow the veshet up. It widens into this. The top, the bottom part is part of the... This, it looks like it's all one thing, it isn't. This is part of the extension of the kana and the muscles that are going around. Yeah, well, we have, I mean, at the very, very top, we have the division between them. But that's where you get the, you're going down the wrong tube.
From the top.
Yeah, right. So, the shaila is over here, what is that called? Is that called vesh, the same dinim of the veshet, or not?
In terms of a thorn?
No, in terms of a hoe. So Rav says it's veshet, it's b'mashu. And if the guy has a little hole in it, it's the same as a veshet having a hole in it, it's treif. Shmuel says, no, it's similar to the din of the gargaret, and therefore it would be beruba. Rav says, well, this is still makom shchita. If it's still makom shchita, it's the same din as the veshet. Because then if it's a veshet, then it's a veshet for an all din. So it's therefore a din in a mashal agavik treifus. Shmuel says, no, this is already out of veshet area, it's beruba, and it's no longer called a makom shchita. By the way, up to where is it called Turbat HaVeshet? There's no clear marking in which the animal comes with a little red marking that says up to here Turbat HaVeshet. I mean, it's a high new Turbat HaVeshet. How do we define, yeah, like on the airplanes, don't step on here, you wonder, God, how many people stepped on there when they were fueling, you know? It's a high new Turbat HaVeshet. What is, in fact, the Turbat HaVeshet? I'll tell you, it's very simple. If you cut the area and the muscle contracts and opens, then that's the Turbat HaVeshet. Chot chovo made b'mekomo, but if you cut it and it just, nothing happens, it doesn't move, then that's the Veshet Atzmo. Omelo Rav Papi said, that's not the way my Rebbe taught me. Marlo Amarach, I'm referring to Rabbi Barabai. Elokosha chot chovo made b'mekomo, even if it won't contract, it stays in one place, that's all still Turbat HaVeshet. The Veshet, if you cut it, it actually folds over into itself. It's covets. It's covets. And there, so in other words, he's saying that even the Turbat HaVeshet extends further down into a place even where it would in fact stay in the same place. Not the way our first Shita has it. Rabbi Yonah Amar Rabbi Zera says the shear is the mavla'ata. The mavla'ata, in other words, the place where the beta bli'ah is, where it swallows. So in other words, he's saying it's all the way up near the top. And it's very small area that would have a din of Turbat Zaveshet, Vekama, Omer of Avia. Well, it's less than the length of a Seora, but more than the length of a Chita. So that's pretty exact. That was always used. The Seora and the Chita were always used as standard. Grain is still used today. We got the weights. We still have grain. Ahu Tura, the Havel of Neir of Ukva. Now here comes a really wild story. There was a shor that belonged to the Rav Ukva's children, and they shechted it. Very strangely, they started the shechit in the Turbat HaVeshet, and they continued on downwards into the Veshet. And Rav said, "That does it. I'm going to get them." Ramina lechumre de Rav lechumre de Shmuel. This is a classic Bnei Brak situation over here. No matter where they'll go, we'll figure out how to make this thing treif. Because I'll tell you like this. I'm gonna say it's treif no matter what. Chumre de Rav. Rav said it's a mashu. I know what you're gonna say. So, but Rav says it's the makom shechita. They did a perfectly kosher shechita. But in that I hold of Shmuel. It's not the makom shechita. You see. Yeah, but if you hold of Shmuel, then it's only a rope. But for that I hold of Rav. So this is the classic from response. Get him no matter what, right? So Rav Mokum Shechita. No, because Shmuel Dober Lav Mokum Shechita. But if it's going like Shmuel, he says the shear is wrong. But in that I hold like Rav, that holds it to Marshall. Now this was a pretty nasty story where it was, the story ultimately rolled its way down to Rababa. So Ilgal Gel Milsa Batele Kamina Rababa. Rababa said, "What the heck? Tura bein l'Rav bein d'Shmuel Shari. I understand what you're talking about. If you hold of Rav, it's kosher because you did a kosher shechita. If you hold of Shmuel, it's kosher because you didn't make it a treifa, because you didn't do rov. And by the time you did the shechita, it was in the correct makom. So do me a favor, send a message to that son of Rav Yosef Bar Chama. What's his name? I think the name is Rav or something. Yeah, Rav they call him. Send a message to him and tell him he better open up his wallet and start paying, but good." What happened was is that he had actually made the point of throwing the meat to the dog, as Tosus learns. So tell him tell him to pay for the value of the shore to the owners. Omar Marberator Avinas, said, "Gosh, I have a horrible thing, I don't want to say it. But let's pretend I'm saying about Rubba's enemies, because I wouldn't want to say it about him. So just euphemistically, Musvina to Yuftaklapi Sanye de Rava, I've got something to say to Rava's enemies. And note this brisa. Liola Melchizer Kedivre Beit Hillel. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this brisa tomorrow. So don't worry about right now the obvious contradictions in the brisa. The halacha is always like Beit Hillel. But if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you can do like Beit Shammai. If you want to do like Beit Hillel, you can do like Beit Hillel. If you want to take the kules of Beit Shammai and the kules of Beit Hillel and put them together, then you're a Rasha. If you want to choose the chumras of Beit Shammai and the chumras of Beit Hillel, then you're an idiot. Olav HaKatuv Omer. Olav HaKatuv Omer HaKsil B'Koshek Olech. The fool walks in darkness. You got to make up your mind. Ike Beit Shammai Kikuleyem V'Kechamureyem. Of course, talking about the same figure would be contradictory to say the truth. Like over here. I mean, if you're saying like Rav, that it's the Mashu, then it's the Makom Shechita. If you're saying it's the Beruba like Shmuel, so that, if you're saying it's not the Makom Shechita like Shmuel, then it's Beruba. I mean, how do you come out saying both? And Ike Beit Hillel Kikuleyem U'Kechamureyem. And therefore, I wouldn't want to say Yaksil B'Choshech Alech about Rav. But certainly those enemies of him have a lot to answer for. All right, we'll see the rest of it tomorrow.